Man who has been with us a number of times on the program. He covers high school sports for AL.com, the Alabama Media Group, and the Birmingham News. Jeff Sintel, kind enough to join us, as all of our guests do, on the Bud Light Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Jeff, thanks for the time. I appreciate it so much.
Hey, man, no problem at all, man. Busy, busy week for basketball, man, in the state of Alabama right now.
Yeah, and it started on Monday for you and I, getting the kids dropped off to Paul Brown's camp in Homewood. That was the first and foremost thing we had to get done.
Yeah, they're class of 2026 or something like that? I mean, 2020, I think. They're on their way, man. They might be on the A-list one day on AL.com.
Mine hasn't made his official. He's made quite a few unofficials to Tuscaloosa, I can assure you, but nothing official yet. So,
did you say he's a soft lean to the Alabama program right now?
No, he's a strong lean, and we'll sign right now if Anthony will just offer, but we're just waiting. We're waiting on the go-ahead on that. You deal with that kind of stuff a lot, and I know that while I'm going to guess you haven't seen the young man whose name I can't quite pronounce, but is out of Edgewood Academy, had that bad injury last night. That's one of those you just cringe, because there's so much of a young man's future riding on really kind of the outcome of this injury. Big story because of who he is, and really in the last week or so is when you're starting to hear a lot about his name for getting offers from different schools in the SEC.
Yeah, that's Prince Tega Winogaho, and you know.
Yes, it is. That's what I was going to say.
If you want to know your Winogaho, I guess you know this. I wrote about him maybe a week ago, and it's funny. You know, Ed Orgeron is one of the guys recruiting him, and one of the pitches, his early pitches to Bobby Carr at Edgewood, was he's like, you know, I was in the movie The Blind Side, and he's like, sounds like you've got another Blind Side sequel coming up there. I mean, one of the few coaches in college football that could probably be part of the Screen Actors Guild. You know, you got to give him that. And, you know, when this kid, I mean, the movie to me sounded more like Coming to America. You have a guy from Nigeria who comes over to Edgewood to play basketball, and they just size him up, and he passes the eyeball test, and you're like, you know, while you're here, why don't you just play some football? And he immediately runs a 4.6 his first day. The first day he gets to Alabama, what does he do? He runs the 40 for a football coach. Does that just might scream what the state of Alabama is all about, I guess?
Yeah.
And it's funny, Bobby Carr, this is a program, I mean, it's an AISA program, but they've won 58 in a row. I think the last six state titles in Class 2A in AISA ball. And he was immediately struck by a couple things. Number one, didn't know who Nick Saban was. Didn't know what an end zone was. But then he put his fastest guy on the five and told him to take off. And then he put Prince Tega at the goal line, and he said chase him in a straight line. And he catches a 4-5 kid right at the 35, and all of a sudden he's like, you don't have cleats on, you got size 17 high-top basketball shoes, and I don't need to time you in the 40 anymore because you're fast enough for me. And he's 6'7 and a half, about 245, I mean, extremely raw. I mean, if your listeners want to just comprehend something for a second, imagine the first game this now four-star recruit plays a football game in. That's also the first football game he's ever seen. And, you know, that's just the type of stuff that a Hollywood script writer is just going to just type up, and you're just going to think. And, you know, with a name like Prince Tega Winogaho, I mean, like, how could that not be any better for Disney executives, man? I mean, like, that's just a great story. Now, he's hurt his leg. It's not arterial. The reports we've gotten back from the coach at AL.com, John Talty, is on that story for us. And it appears he'll be back kind of in some sort of shape by May. So he'll begin his recovery by May, and he should be eligible and be able to join the football team this fall. And the good part about this story, the happy ending to it so far, Chris, is that every school that it's offered will continue to honor that scholarship going forward.
That is good news to hear indeed. Talking to Jeff Sintel, AL.com and Alabama Media Group, Birmingham News. You were, I know, back and forth, I guess, a couple of places on Monday, big high school event going on in the Birmingham area that had teams from all over the state involved, but there have been some pretty good ball games just in the first 2 days of the week as far as the state prep landscape is concerned.
Yeah, you know, I guess if a mega recruit like Deron Payne wants to try and bench press 500 on his max day, well, a sports writer's max day for me was Monday. I never covered six basketball games in a row back-to-back, and I probably never want to try that again. But I got an overload, kind of like a Thanksgiving. The 980 group, who does such a fantastic job with event planning in just their second year as a company in Alabama, put together a Martin Luther King showcase. It was Kings of the Court. There were six games at Bill Battle at Birmingham Southern, and there were six games at Bill Harris Arena right there at the Crossplex. Saw a lot of basketball. Then last night I saw Spain Park versus Mountain Brook. That's number one versus number five, and Spain Park knocked off number one Mountain Brook for what is now believed is the first time that school's ever knocked off a number one ranked boys basketball team in their program history. But the big picture, Chris, and, you know, in honor of this being Dr. King's week and the week his contributions to our nation is celebrated across the country, and rightfully so, I would think from what I've seen so far this week, I would say I have a dream for basketball in the state of Alabama. And if you want to work with me here, maybe 2 years down the road, we might have it where multiple stops are being made by the power brokers in college basketball. I'm talking about Kentucky and Calipari, Billy Donovan. I'm talking about UConn. I'm talking about Bill Self. Imagine them coming to Alabama to see not one, not two, not three, but maybe four players in the state that are really, really that good. You know, one night I saw Alex Reese at Pelham, and he was just really blowing me away. He was playing eighth-grade basketball a year and a half ago, true sophomore. He's about 6'9", 240, runs like a gazelle, good jump hook, good post moves. And to me, you see a big man going up and down the floor, and you expect them to labor when they're in overdrive or in fifth gear, but this guy is really smooth. I saw something phenomenal on Monday night. That was the last game, the sixth game I stayed around for, and Reese, who has offers from Auburn and Alabama and Murray State and interest from Georgia and Vanderbilt already, as a sophomore, he was in the box. And, you know, Trendon Watford, who's Christian Watford's little brother, already 6'7" at Shades Valley and an eighth grader, averaging 16 points per game in 6A ball as an eighth grader. He spots up for a three after, you know, one rotation of the ball his way. And Reese, get this, closes down on him from the box and blocks a 6'7" outside shooter shot. That just doesn't happen. I don't know if that happens all the time in the SEC, man, but when you look, you're talking about a 10th grader and an 8th grader. That's a very bright future for Alabama high school basketball.
All right, but let's get to really something you referenced there. I guess it's two separate things that lead me to this. The dream is to have the coaches come in, but the real dream for Alabama fans is to have them in state, and for my audience primarily here in Tuscaloosa is to have them come to the University of Alabama. So, you know, talk about Christian Watford's little brother. Christian's a guy that got away and went to Indiana. You're talking about the name national programs coming in. What are the odds of some of these guys you're talking about? Where is Alabama in the mix on these, and what's kind of your gut telling you, although I know it's still very early in the process?
Yeah, you know, to me, I think pretty clearly, you know, we're talking about 2017 kid. And I think if Bruce Pearl has it going in Auburn and he lands a couple of these kids, that will say everything we need to know about the type of job he does if he pulls a guy like that away from a, you know, a really big-time program, and then also Coach Grant in Alabama. We thought we had a really good dream Fab Five class this past year with guys like Riley Norris and Justin Coleman and William Lee and Isaac Haas. Lots of guys who went off to places like Purdue and Alabama and also UAB. And we thought that was the dream concept, but I mean, when I talk about John Petty at J.O. Johnson, I talk about Alex Reese at Pelham, and I talk about Jamal Johnson at Spain Park and also Austin Wiley at Spain Park, you're really talking about four sophomores there that are going to show up in the top 80 prospects for that class on anybody's rankings list. And that's kind of pretty much unheard of. I mean, we had DeMarcus Cousins and Eric Bledsoe a few years, like 7 years ago, a while back, but that's the closest comparison I can draw. And, you know, I think you know, if I had to sit there and provide an answer for how these guys feel about Alabama, I think that would be kind of like the heat check for maybe the whole state feels about Alabama basketball. Crucial year, important year for Coach Grant, and, you know, they want to see him sustain and they want to see him survive and even excel at Alabama. And if Coach Grant's still the head coach at Alabama and when these guys are getting ready to put pen to paper, I mean, that would have to be a huge priority for anybody to land at least one or two of these big guys. And, you know, when I mean big guys, you know, the two at Spain Park seem to be almost destined to Auburn because Wiley, who's a five-star center, already has – he has family connections to Auburn. Both his parents played there. And he's considered the number 12 player in the country. And I just marvel at watching these bodies at 6'9 and 6'9 and 240 and 230, and they're sophomores, Chris. I can't imagine what these bodies are going to look like as seniors, and that's what I feel will attract a guy like a Bill Self and a Coach K and, you know, the very big power brokers in college basketball along. I mean, to me, if Alabama and Auburn are in contention and for these signatures and the type of players these kids are, that's going to say that these programs are in very fine shape by the time that rolls around.
Jeff Sintel joining us from AL.com, the Alabama Media Group. Always keeping an eye here, obviously, what's going on with Tuscaloosa. And I'm not going to pretend that I have seen a lot of what's going on in the area, but I know that County High had a tough one against Hoover last night. I think that was their most recent matchup. If you can, give me a little bit of a finger on the pulse of what's happening here on the prep scene in Tuscaloosa County.
Well, I thought it was an ugly win last night for Hoover. And, you know, quite frankly, I think County's got to be looking at its program thinking, we're not really at our peak yet, and they need to find their peak pretty fast because, you know, when you look at the beginning of the year about which team had perhaps the most collection of, you know, next-level players and prospects, I think Tuscaloosa County right up would have been at the top of a lot of people's list. They were at the top of mine. And, you know, the Wildcats, I think they lost by five the other night, or lost by three last night to Hoover in what was termed a very ugly game by the accounts I got back from it. You know, their team, that seems like this is a year they can make a run. And, you know, they always, to me, in my book, seem a little eclipsed by what's happening at Hillcrest with Coach Settles and the marvelous job he does year in and year out with his program. And you've got to sit there and think, you know, area play, will Hoover clinch the area title? And then you've got to sit there and say, oh, are they going to go through Hoover? How will they go through Hoover going forward? And if both of them are going to make the regionals, that's probably the 1 and 2 seeds coming out of that region. But I think a lot of Tuscaloosa County basketball fans will be thinking when they watch that team line up every evening, if this is not the year for us to make a big run, then what will be the year for the Wildcats?
And on the girls' side, Central having a strong year. I think they're top five right now in Class 5A. And are they kind of carrying the banner for the area and on the girls' side of things?
Yeah, and it's funny how the boys and girls dynamic matches out. It seems like, and maybe perhaps except in 6A and 7A, where 6A is kind of really wide open. But, you know, you've got a 5A Winona that's really good. But, yeah, I would think, you know, the girls' side is going to be, that would probably be the banner for the Tuscaloosa area. And, you know, if you see a little waffling in this answer here, that's because we have a maestro at AL.com by the name of Dennis Victor. He handles all the girls' basketball for us.
And I understand.
When you're watching seven boys' basketball games in the past 2 days, you don't have a whole lot of time to concentrate on the girls' rankings and everything else like that. There's a huge tournament in town this week where four of the top 10 teams are participating in the Jefferson County tournament. The semifinals are tonight, and that's four teams that are ranked in the top 10 in various classes. Probably the epicenter of girls' basketball this week, and especially tonight, will be at Hueytown High School.
It's kind of amazing. We're down to just a few weeks from getting away from playoff action, though, aren't we?
Yeah. You know, most of all the regular seasons will be done by the 27th, 30th, 31st, and then area play will begin right the first week of February. And there'll be an interesting mix how there'll be one last layer of the playoffs for the 7A schools in your listening audience because, of, you know, there's only 32 teams that are in that classification. And so there's one less rung of the playoff ladder. And they eventually will all matriculate to the BJCC as always, but it will just be for the Alabama State Finals. It's no longer the final 50, the Final 48 anymore, or it's no longer the Final 56. It's going to be the Alabama State Finals.
So they will have just the championship games. It's no longer a Final Four in those classifications, or is it?
Well, that's a good question, Chris. I mean, that's the one thing I like to make clear is that they will still have the semifinal format with all four teams out of every classification there. And then you talk about a stretch run of basketball. It's basically going to go 7 days, and you're going to have classifications just, you know, reeling off one by one by one. And then the final day, which will be unique, where you used to have a couple of the big classifications on Friday and a couple of the big classifications on Saturday. Now that Saturday lines up, is you're going to see the 5A, 6A, and 7A finals all on that same day, and even the 4A. So that's going to be a huge day for basketball across the state in Birmingham.
So, and that's why I'm trying to, again, I should have known this, but I didn't. But years ago, before I actually started doing the play-by-play for Alabama basketball, I used to manage the radio network for the state finals. And I know what an undertaking that was at the beginning, and that was just with games going Tuesday through Saturday night. And they'd start, as you know, Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. and go all the way through. So now we're talking about this truly being a seven-day event there at the Civic Center?
It's going to go all that week. And, you know, I was curious to see whether they'd start some of it with their plans on the Saturday and then take the Sunday off and then keep rolling through as they go for the finals week. And, man, there's just going to be some great storylines. And, you know, a lot of these players, a lot of this next wave of talent, you can kind of peg on a lot of those guys to be there, especially, you know, guys like a Dazon Ingram coming out of Mobile and Baldwin County, perhaps out of the South in 7A, and, you know Dante Hall from, you know, Luverne, lots of places like that. I mean, it's supposed to be the showcase for high school basketball in Alabama, and I think we'll get a lot of that this year.
Jeff, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much, and look forward to talking again soon, maybe as we get into the playoffs, getting ready to tip off.
Anytime, Chris. Love being on your show, man.
Thank you, bud.